part one. You're listening to another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 109.
109, John. Episode 109. And we're back in the studio, which we won't be in very much longer.
Right.
Pretty soon we'll be back in your home studio.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll say goodbye to the studio, maybe forever.
I actually could be... No, I don't know if I could get the room set up by next weekend. I'll try. Could be next weekend.
No promises, though.
No promises.
Right on, John. We do have some announcements right off of the get-go.
Right off.
First of all, website updates, John. Website updates. And, of course, I'm talking about TotalTalkNonsense.com. Spenny has the forum down. And I'm thinking hopefully it'll stay down for good.
What?
But maybe
Why?
She'll bring that back up.
Why?
It's been down since Wednesday.
Why? Elaborate.
There's no elaboration.
What do you mean?
We could use that tab for something else, like merchandise.
What's wrong with the forum?
Instead of forum.
Why?
Oh, and that reminds me.
Hey. It's for the fans to communicate with one another.
Right on. Okay. Well, there's other ways to do that.
You?
One of the things I was looking at is putting a wiki page on our website. So instead of a forum... They can contribute by uploading videos or doing whatever the hell they want. Gives them a little more flexibility to kind of create their own content and edit other people's. So, website updates. So we got the forum is down, but the big news, the huge news.
The big news.
Is we received in snail mail a DVD, and on that DVD was the recording that the great... Stephen C. made.
Nice.
At Festivus Test Anus.
Testicle Anus.
When Pauly B. and Tony Hearn from the Punky Radio joined a John and Scott on stage, not only uniting fans and bands across the lands, but uniting podcasters across the lands, John. And they joined us for three songs. And those three songs
are the best ever.
Are available. On our website, TotalTalkNonsense.com.
TotalTalkNonsense.
So go to TotalTalkNonsense.com and click on the media tab.
Yeah, and check it out.
And you will see the performance of the century.
Yeah.
As Tony Hearn and Pauly B joined John and Scott on stage for a little bit of punk music. My favorite is the third song. What was that? Too drunk to remember the words?
Man, you're breaking bad already, man.
Holy shit. That's when Tony, his E-string was caught up on the bridge or something, and he starts playing, and you and I look at each other.
On the second song.
No, that was the third song. And then I
know, but it got caught up on the second song because
Yeah. So he starts playing the riff for Too Drunk to... Shag, and you and I look at each other, and the funniest thing is Pauly B, his head bops like right when we're supposed to come in, and then nothing happens. He turns around like, what's going on? So then we get the song going. Then Tony Hearn pulls the guitar cord out, and Rick has to go up and help him. Then the very first chorus, Pauly B sings, screams the chorus. And then he puts his hand to his head like he's got the worst migraine fucking headache on the planet. And then he forgets the words. Then you help him out. And then we get through the song. And that's what punk's all about, man. That's what it's all about.
No doubt.
No rehearsal. Just get up there and do it. Do it.
I think I just shit my pants.
Right now?
Yeah, I might.
You sharted?
Yeah, maybe.
I'll let you know.
I might have sharted.
The smell is continual. Odorous.
Oh. That's not good.
Those are available. We also will be updating with more videos of our band, John, because we are in a band.
Right.
And the great Stephen C. not only took videos of the punky performance, but also some choice tunage.
Did you watch it?
Not the whole thing.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I did.
How do we sound, man?
I think we sound pretty... It's amazing, that little camera that he has, the microphone really did a great job for... Well, it's not only that, but it's the outstanding PA setup that you guys put together to make it sound like
right.
Of course. All right, the other news is we have a gig finally.
Right.
We will be back at the Beacon Tap on January 19th.
Right.
That, of course, if they don't have any reunions planned, we'll sort that out and figure that out. January 19th, we will be at the Beacon Tap. Our band there, John.
It's out of sight. Because we are a band.
Where history was made on September 29th, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you that, John. No doubt.
A couple of great news stories came out this week.
What did I eat?
Really made me feel good about being alive, John. Being alive.
Right.
One of them is about Blockbuster. It looks like the bottom has finally fallen out of Blockbuster. After numerous failed attempts at attracting new companies, customers. The company has finally bit the bullet and is spiraling out of control.
Good.
All in all, they're going to close 526 stores.
Never tell you the story. This buddy of mine said, dude, you got to see The Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel, no doubt.
You got to see this fucking movie. And I'm like, all right. So I go to Blockbuster and I rent it. And he's like, did you see the part where he's jerking off in the back seat of the car? And he tells the two chicks to show the one chick to show her ass and the other one to pretend she's giving a blowjob. I said, no, that wasn't in the movie. Yeah, it was. He pulls these chicks over and they're driving. They're like 17. They don't have a license. And they're driving their mom's station wagon. He jumps in the back seat and jerks off while one of them shows her ass and the other one pretends to give a blowjob. I said, dude, that was not in the movie I rented. He goes, you didn't rent The Bad Lieutenant, man. That's
right.
And I got a censored version from fucking Blockbuster.
You know, I did the same thing. I don't know how I found out about it, but I went and rented it. I watched the goddamn thing. I'm like, geez, that's the shittiest movie I have fucking ever seen.
Continuity.
What the hell? What the hell?
Why is he crying?
What was Harvey Keitel thinking? And then it was getting good reviews. And what are these people thinking? And then I can't remember how I found out about it, but I found out that Blockbuster censored the goddamn movie. And they don't even say.
They don't even say.
They just take the shit out. And
I don't care if you want to censor it. Just say at least.
Well, that, and they always seem to hire the most arrogant fucking pricks to work behind the register. Yeah. So you bring a late movie in and they got to tell you, hey, you know this movie is late. Yeah, I know the fucking movie is late, you cocksucker. I stopped going to Blockbuster, I don't know, 10 years ago. I got tired of those cunts.
I shit in one of their video things and then put it back in. You ever do that?
No, great. I never did that.
They knew it was me, though.
So that's great. Great news.
Trouble.
Blockbuster going down the tubes.
Done.
Those pole smokers.
Dead.
Then there was one other.
Shoot him dead.
Outstanding news story, John, that I think you have.
What's this?
I was so jizzed when I heard about this, John.
You were jizzed?
Yeah, about Reverend Fred Phelps. Now, these are the lunatics.
Oh, yeah.
That go around to the funerals of dead veterans that come back from Iraq. They have their funerals. And these a-holes go out as a sign of protest to express their freedom of speech rights. I'm really having trouble talking. To say that the reason these men are dying in Iraq is because God hates fags, and this is how he's paying.
John and Scott are a bunch of fag enabling fools.
And this is how God is paying us back by sending kids home in body bags because God hates fags. So what happened is one of the fathers of he lost his son in Iraq. This fucker shows up to protest at his son's funeral. So the father sues Phelps's church, and he fucking wins.
Yeah.
And Phelps has got to turn over like $11 million to this guy.
Yeah, this is what it says. It says, this is from Reuters. Kansas church liable in marine funeral protest by John Hurdle. Got to give him his props. A jury on Wednesday ordered an anti-gay Kansas church to pay $10.9 million in damages to relatives of a U.S. Marine who died in Iraq after church members cheered his death at his funeral. Church members said Marine Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder's death was God's punishment of America for tolerating homosexuality, and they attended his 2006 funeral in Maryland with signs saying, "You're going to hell, and God hates you." The federal jury determined the Westboro Baptist Church, based in Topeka, and three of its principals invaded the privacy of the dead man's family and inflicted emotional distress.
Right, and now Phelps' whole argument is, hey, I have freedom of speech to say that shit. That's fine, you want to say that shit. Just don't go to this guy's goddamn funeral, you cocksucker. I mean, what a arrogant piece of shit he is. You want to do that? Close off a goddamn street? Say it wherever you want. Just don't do it at the guy's funeral.
Get a fucking podcast.
But now, you dumbass, you got to pay $11 million. I love that. Great news. What great news. Invasion of privacy.
No doubt. Speaking of, I don't know what speaking of what, but did you hear about Hannity?
Hannity.
From the Fox News.
Sean Hannity.
The faux news.
What is that poll smoker saying now?
Poll smoker on October 31st edition of Fox News, Hannity and Combs. Co-host Sean Hannity claimed that Halloween is a liberal holiday and is teaching our kids to be liberals. Hannity explained that we're teaching kids to knock on other people's doors and ask for a handout. Co-host Alan Combs responded by asking if that meant that Christmas is a liberal holiday. Combs asserted that Halloween represents the act of giving and asked, isn't that a Christian thing to give, to share with your community? Hannity replied, not to teach your kids to beg for a handout.
Who's begging on Halloween? I can't even believe this guy has a
show.
Don't
you say trick or treat?
So
you're giving somebody a choice.
Yeah, they got the choice. But here's what I want to know. So this guy sits in his goddamn room. Does he think of this idea all by himself? And then does he think it's the greatest idea ever and that he's going to tell everybody his great idea? And they're going to say, Sean Hannity's a goddamn genius. This man needs a Nobel Prize for peace because he's so goddamn smart.
Well, I got the audio of this knucklehead.
Doesn't he realize how stupid he sounds? Let's hear how stupid he sounds.
How great he actually sounds really smart to me.
By the way, always Halloween pizza. is a liberal holiday because we're teaching our children to beg for something for free.
By the way, I'm going to Halloween as a Republican. I'm taking candy away from people.
I'll tell you why Halloween is really a liberal day. Next. That is frightening. All right, now here's what
Halloween's hopeless. Are you anti-Halloween?
No, can I tell you something? Halloween is teaching our kids to be liberals.
What are you going as this year?
No, I'm not. Hillary Clinton, frightening.
That's a cheap shot. Come on.
Well, it's the number one most frightening mask out there. Go look at the
papers. You're scared that she's going to be president of the United States.
No, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you why. Because we're teaching kids to knock on other people's doors and ask for a handout. That's how you turn
it. Is Christmas a liberal holiday then?
No, but you offer gifts.
Away?
You give on Christmas.
You give on Halloween.
No, you don't give. Please, can I have some more?
Oh, yeah. That's what they all said at my house. Please, can I have some more?
I actually did have a group of kids come back, and I said, hey, man, you've already been here. Yeah, but you have the best candy on
the
block.
Yeah, well, see?
Goddamn little liberals.
You little liberal fucks. Get out of here. Let me get my gun.
I mean, that is just so
get out
absurd.
Of here. Goddamn kids, get off my lawn.
Sean Hannity. What a dumbass.
Fucking dumbass.
Oh, we did have the Halloween special last week.
John. Yeah.
And then that reminds me, I meant to bring this clip in and I forgot to bring it in. But this next clip we're going to hear is from GodTube. And the premise is there's two guys, two buddies in high school. One was a Christian, one wasn't. The Christian never preached to his friend.
Yeah.
And his friend ended up dying. And his friend writes him a letter from hell. I wanted to bring this in.
What?
I wanted to bring this in so that Satan could comment on it, but I forgot last week. So we'll bring it in. Let's just go ahead and listen to the if you're interested, we can play the rest of it, but just listen to the first clip that I gave you there.
All right.
And I think they may set up the premise again in the first clip.
They were best friends. They played soccer together. They went to classes together. They partied together. They shared their lives with each other.
What the fuck is...
But there was one thing Zach held back from Josh. His personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The rest of the story is simple and sad. A few too many beers. A tragic drive home. A crash. A death. A funeral. A letter. Here is that letter. Entirety. A letter from hell.
In a world.
A letter from hell. So, if we want to hear the letter that the friend writes from hell, there's a couple logical lapses in this letter, in my opinion. But if you're interested in hearing that, go ahead and play.
In a world.
Go ahead and play the second part.
Part two?
Part two.
Part two. All right.
Dear Zach, I died today.
Hold on a second. What's with the fucking drone in the background?
It's like Satan, man. It's from hell. It's what it sounds like in hell.
It does. Okay.
Does it make it almost inaudible?
We're going to have to ask Satan that.
Maybe that's Satan.
If he ever comes back, he was treated pretty rudely.
Who?
I listened to the show, Satan.
Ooh, I treated him rudely?
Oh,
forget
just, like,
that.
20 fucking questions, a poor guy.
How often does Satan show up? What are you going
to
do?
Comes out, he's trying to stump some movies or something, yeah. And you're all
I don't know case. Where he was going with that.
All right, here we go.
Dear Zach, I died today. It's a lot different than I expected. You see... I always thought dying would bring me into a world that's foggy and hazy. But this place is crystal clear. It's even more real than my life on Earth. I can think. I can talk. I can even feel. Right after the wreck, I could feel my spirit leaving my body. It was the weirdest thing, Zach. I thought I heard you screaming out to me, man. It must have been just imagining things. At first, I was just standing in line, getting registered, I guess. They asked me for my name and began to look at this thing they called the Book of Life. I guess they couldn't find it, though, because this huge angel standing next to me grabbed me by the arm and started dragging me away. I was terrified.
Fuck you.
I had no idea what was going on. I asked the angel where he was taking me, but he didn't answer.
Tatanus.
So I asked him again. Finally, he told me that only those whose names were written in the Book of Life could enter into heaven. And the rest would be condemned to hell forever.
All right, so there's the intro. This guy's going to hell, and this is how it happens. You die. You're waiting in line. Can you imagine that there's a line you have to wait in?
Yeah.
Because they got to sort this shit out. They just they don't know.
Yeah, I hope it's not like a line like at Great America. You ever go in one of those lines and it's 100 degrees?
And you got to go back and forth and see the same people over?
From here, it'll be 475 minutes. What?
But what if they miss ID or something, right? So this angel comes down and drags them out of line. So I'm assuming the line to get in heaven is longer than the line for hell because they have to drag them out. I would think that the line to hell would be much longer than heaven. Because how many Muslims are on the goddamn planet? More than Christians, right? And Jews, they're not going to heaven, according to Christians. So wouldn't the line to hell be longer than the line to heaven? So he's in the long line to heaven. He gets dragged out.
Wait, there's different lines for different religions?
I don't know. We really don't get...
Is there one line or different lines? Or... Or is it one big line and you get up there and then you got to say what your denomination is?
And then wait in another line. It's like security at the airport.
Right.
Until.
Do you got to go through a metal detector up there? That's what I want to know.
We might get a little bit of that in the next clip. But, okay, so he lays it out. He was in line and now an angel came down and dragged him out of line.
Do you have to lick any genitalia
and said,
when you're up there?
And said, you're not in the book. If you're in the book, you get to go. If you're not in the book, you don't get to go. It seems like a lot of paperwork, John.
Yeah.
A lot of paperwork.
Yeah, I would think so.
And you got paperwork, then you got angel air, you know?
All right.
Man, I was scared. The angel threw me into some kind of holding cell.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I've been thinking for a long, long time. Do you want to know what I've been thinking about? I've been thinking about you. Zach, you're a Christian. You told me so yourself. I mean, we talked about it 3 different times today. Kelly brought it up, and you laughed it off. Coach Adams brought it up, and you changed the subject. I mean, it came up right before the wreck.
Get out of the line, fucker.
Well, the question I can't get out of my mind is this, Zach. Why haven't you ever told me about how to become a Christian?
I'm gay.
I mean, you say you're my friend, but if you really were, you would have told me about this Jesus and told me how to escape this terrible place that I'm headed for.
It's not so bad.
I can feel my heart pounding in my chest.
No, that's my cock in your ass.
The angels who have been chosen to cast me into hell are coming down the hallway. I can hear their footsteps. I've heard of this hell, Zach. They call it the Lake of Fire. I can't stand it, Zach. I'm terrified. No, the angels are at the door. Oh, no. No! They're coming in, and they're pointing at me. They're grabbing me and carrying me out of the room. I can already smell the burning sulfur and brimstone.
Tetanus.
The cliff where hell burns. This is it. I am without hope.
Where did this fucking audio come from?
So wait a minute. They pull him out of line, and then they put him in a holding cell.
Right.
With other people. Why? What's the reason for the holding cell?
Why didn't he join up with the other people and break out, you know, start a little army?
Yeah, and then they come in and pull him,
you
just
fuckers.
Him out.
I got a gun.
But then, remember, this is supposed to be a letter that he's writing.
Oh,
so
right.
How is he writing it?
He's very upset with the soundtrack in his writing.
Is they're dragging him away. I don't get that. And I'm so jazzed about the next clip, John, because it's gonna provide a conclusion.
So fucking.
But the other thing is, it's not his problem that he's in hell. All of a sudden, it's Zach's problem.
Zach, yeah.
Because Zach never
nice
told
going,
him.
Nice going, asshole. It's all your fault.
It's all. Why is it Zach's fault?
That's all. Hey, Christianity is built on guilt, I thought, isn't it?
Oh, no, really? You can't tell by this clip?
All right, shall we go on to the next clip?
Yeah.
Here it is.
John and Scott
are
a bunch of fag-enabling fools.
They're holding me over the plane. I'm down forever. This is it. They have thrown me in. Fire. Pain.
Do you suck dicks?
Why, Zach? Why didn't you ever tell me about Jesus? Jesus.
I make fake foreskins.
Signed. Your friend. Josh.
Your friend. Josh.
P.S.
Welcome.
Wish you were here.
Welcome.
All right. So, wow. Josh.
Wow.
Why would he sign your friend, Josh? I mean, obviously he's upset. He's in
yeah.
hell. And he's blaming it all on Zach.
He should have said, fuck you.
Like, he couldn't figure out Christianity for himself. He had to have Zach tell
Why
him about
you
it.
Why did tell me, man?
You stupid. We brought it up 3 times today, you fucker.
Because, Scott, it's about spreading the good news.
Right. So the morality, moral of this story is if you are a Christian...
I wish I knew how to quit you.
You need to even be more goddamn annoying and try to get more people to convert to your faith.
Right.
So you don't receive letters like this from hell, from Josh.
Yeah, and then Zach's going to go, is it Zach?
Zach,
Josh is the dead one.
Yeah, Zach is the Christian.
Zach. So now Zach, what does Zach do now?
I guess he learns his lesson. He's
that's what he does.
Maybe. No, he wouldn't do that because that's a sin, John.
Oh. He didn't spread the good news.
But maybe this will turn him around, and now he will, like, he'll come up to you and me on the street.
Yeah, it'll turn him around, all right.
Wanna
ask first.
Make us Christians. Won't that be great? I'll need to hear from Zach now.
Yeah.
Because his friend, he didn't tell his friend Josh. Now I need to hear about it.
Well, let's hear from Zach, shall we?
Sure.
I make fake foreskins.
That was Zach, ladies and gentlemen.
So there you have it.
Wow.
That was off of GodTube. Also, GodTube is like the fastest growing website. I think they owe TTN a little
Should
bit of
be.
Gratitude there.
Yeah.
Right on. GodTube. Love GodTube. It's one of my favorite sites. I tell you that. Hey, John, we get any comments?
Yes. We got a couple.
What do we get?
Hold on. This one's from MySpace. It's from Taste Tea. Taste Tea. I love your guys' show. You guys make me feel like I'm not alone with my unhappiness with the W. And Phil makes me spray Gatorade out my nose. Hole. That's W-H-O-L-E. Looks like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and the three-parter has become one. The October shows were great. Looking forward to November's Tet and all that from Stefan C. As usual... That was a PCA comment. Here's another one. As usual, John's on the money, but Scott is so far off the mark, it's unbelievable. You're still the second best podcast in Christendom, and the current abandonment of those pain-in-the-arse three-part episodes is great news for yours truly. Keep up the silver medal winning work, Pauly BX. That's all I got.
Well, Pauly B, the one thing about that is I meant to bring in two clips, and we'll have to do it for next show because I am not off the mark. I am right on with my analysis, my anal-sis. What we're going to do is we're going to pull out a clip from their latest show, and we're going to pull out a clip from when you produced the show, John.
Ah.
And we will let our audience decide which audio is better.
Out of sight.
And whatever they blame it on Pauly B's voice, I can still understand him when he talks, but I can't understand him in the current production state that is Punky as we know it, the last three shows.
Yeah. Wow. All right. That's deep. That's heavy.
That's all I'm saying.
That's nice.
All right, John. Now, when Satan was in last week, he filled in for Festus Big Peters and did a little redneck recital.
Redneck recital.
The one thing that the motherfucker forgot to do before he left is tell us what song it was. So I had to research it myself and figure out what song it was. Now, we have a couple of emails here, John.
Ah.
Let me read the first one. We may have a winner here.
Oh, really?
Yes, Jeremy. We got this October 31st. Jeremy. Subject line, Satan recital. Satan's song is by Beck. I would have figured the Dark Lord would come up with something more obscure and wicked. Jeremy. Now, John, let me ask you this. What valuable piece of information did Jeremy exclude from his email? Which
the name of the song.
Right. There are two parts to this contest, people. We have the artist, Beck. That is correct.
Yes.
The name of the song is absent from this email. Therefore, it is not a winner. Sorry about that, Jeremy. Next email. This one's from Schwing. The Way of the Bob.
Ah!
No, it's not.
Oh.
I take that back.
Oh,
this is so not upset. From Way. The next one is from Doug.
I'm so goddamn upset.
This email is from Doug, and now Doug's going back to the Shakespeare recital. Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Billy Shakes was reciting Death or Glory... Be the Clash in the first clip. And that is absolutely correct. Unfortunately,
that was not part of the contest.
Right. It was at one point. We didn't get any responses, so we had to lop off Billy Shakes from the contest. But Doug is right that one of the songs is Death or Glory. What's right. the other one, huh? What's the other one? Then we get the email from Way of the Bob.
Ah, nice. He still listens.
But it's a little bit confusing, okay? But right. I'll let you be the judge.
All right.
In the subject line, it says, the Beck song, Satan Gave Me a Taco. Lyrics competition. That's the subject line. The Beck song, Satan Gave Me a Taco, lyrics competition. Now, here's what he says in his email. Dearest John and Scott, in response to Mr. Satan's question regarding the song lyrics in episode 108, I would like to put forward my answer. The Birdie song by The Tweets. Love and hugs, Bob.
What?
So I'm totally confused by this email.
Wait, what does he say?
He says The Birdie song by The Tweets.
Which is what?
Is wrong.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. Mr. Satan's question regarding the song lyrics in episode 108. I would like to put forward my answer, The Birdie song, The Tweets. I don't know what that means, but if we just look at the subject line, the Beck song, Satan Gave Me a Taco, lyrics competition, the answer is in there, John.
Ah.
The answer is in the subject line, so we're going to award this prize.
Did I say the Beck song?
To Way of the Bob.
Did I say what the name of the artist was, or did...
Did you? I don't know. He's going to have to email us and clarify what this means. I have no idea what this means. None. But he is a winner. Way of the Bub.
Way of the Bub.
Wins. And, yeah, we're going to have to cut back on Redneck Recital.
Yeah?
Because I just can't keep up with the postage and the mailing, all that shit out to all of our winners. Maybe we'll do it once a month.
The Tweets are a group of people dressed as giant birds who are infamous for their 1981 novelty UK hit, The Birdie Song, voted worst song of all time in a BBC poll. Their follow-up song, Let's All Sing Like the Birdies Sing, just missed out on the top 40.
Well, that's out of
sight. Just in case you want to know.
Out of sight.
Because we're about catapulting the propaganda here.
Got a couple of miscellaneous stories here, John. One is out of Saudi Arabia. Now, according to the W, this is a shining beacon of light. In the Middle East, Saudi Arabia. I mean, they go to bed together, the W and the Arabs, right? But get this. Saudi marriage expert. Now, this is an expert on marriage. Advises men the right way to beat their wives.
The right way.
The right way. So listen up, all you Saudis. This is the right way to beat your wife. He's a Saudi author and cleric, Dr. Muhammad Al-Arifi, who in a remarkable segment broadcast on Saudi and Kuwaiti television in September, counseled young Muslim men on how to treat their wives. Admonish them once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times, he advised. If this doesn't help, refuse to share their beds. And if that doesn't work, beat them.
Beat them.
One of his three young advisors responded. That's right, Al-Arifi said. He goes on to calmly explain to the young men that hitting their future wives in the face is a no-no. Beating in the face is forbidden, even when it comes to animals, he explained.
Oh, my God.
Even if you want your camel or donkey to start walking, you are not allowed to beat it in the face. If this is true for animals, it is all the more true when it comes to humans. So beating should be light and not in the face. His final words of wisdom, John, you may be asking?
Beat where you can't see it, probably.
Women, it has gone too far. I can't bear it anymore, he tells the men to tell their wives. If he beats her, the beatings must be light and must not make her face ugly. Now, John, I've seen my share of Saudi women, and I think they're ugly to begin with. So how do you... He must beat her where it will not leave marks. He should not beat her on the hand. He should beat her in some places where it will cause any damage. He should not beat her like he would beat an animal or a child. Okay, so there's rules for beating children. You can slap them differently than wives,
right,
I guess.
Right.
Unfortunately, many husbands beat their wives only when they get mad and when they start beating as if they are punching a wall. They beat with their hands, right, left, and sometimes use their feet.
Hi-yah.
Brother, it is a human being you are beating.
Stop it.
This is forbidden. He must not do this. Okay, so beating is not forbidden.
Now, have you seen...
Just beating with the fists.
Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't seen the video. Oh, you haven't seen the video?
Yeah, there's a video of him talking to these three guys. And he says, if you're going to beat him lightly with a toothpick.
What?
And he reaches in his his back pocket and pulls out a toothpick, which is a stick about a foot long. I'm thinking, toothpick, yeah, okay, I understand the metaphor. And then he pulls out this stick. I could see the woman just go up and shoot the motherfucker.
Yeah, can you imagine if he tried to pull that shit on American women?
No, I think here you were allowed to beat women here as long as the stick wasn't thicker than your thumb.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not for sure on that.
Well, here's all I know. This is all I know, John. I don't know anything other than this. You got a country like this and a culture like this where women are compared to animals and beatings take place because they get out of line just like a goddamn donkey. That's not a country that's anywhere I want to go or anywhere that's going to make any type of impact on the world other than negative.
Right.
Because you need to empower women, John. They are not our lessers. They are our equals. And you got to start treating them like that in a culture and a country, or you got a fucking shithole on your hands, in my opinion. That's my opinion, John. What do you think about that?
Oh, I was wrong. Rule of thumb. Yeah, remember rule of thumb?
Rule of thumb
is blah, 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 blah. And it was about, it's like a, what do you call it, urban myth. Because Cecil says, no, it's not true. Wife beating has never been legal in the U.S. The Massachusetts Bay Colony prohibited it in 1655. Religious groups campaigned against it, and vigilantes occasionally horsewhipped men accused of it. Most states had explicitly outlawed it by 1870. Yeah. So, sorry, I was wrong.
There you go. Well, you corrected yourself.
I'm trying to catapult the propaganda, Scott.
Right on. Other kind of miscellaneous story here. This is out of the New York Times.
Ah.
It began February 12, 2006, when viewers of the ABC series Grey's Anatomy heard the character Miranda Bailey, a pregnant doctor who had gone into labor, admonish a male intern. And she said, quote, "Stop looking at my vajayjay."
Vajayjay.
Have you ever heard vajayjay?
Oprah.
I have never heard this until I read this article.
The fucking Oprah.
Well, they go on to say the line sprang from an executive producer's need to mollify standards and practice executives who wanted the script to include fewer mentions of the word vagina.
Wow.
The scene, however, had the unintended effect of catapulting John vajayjay into mainstream speech. The show's most noted fan, Oprah Winfrey, began using it on her show, effectively legitimizing it for some 46 million American viewers.
Wow.
She asked her audience, "I think vajayjay is a nice word, don't you?" Get this, though. Vajayjay found its way into the electronic dictionaries like Urban Dictionary, Word Spy, and Merriam-Webster's Open Dictionary. It was uttered on television in 30 Rock, used in a website of the Tyra Banks show. Jimmy Kimmel said it in a monologue. It has appeared in web publications Salon and the Huffington Post. Stay with me, John. And most recently, it has been shortened to vajay by Eric Tomorrow of The Mediocre Show. There you have it.
I don't have a sneeze button.
So I had never heard of vajayjay. I've heard of vajay from Eric Tomorrow, but never vajayjay.
No.
But you've heard that term, huh?
Yeah.
I guess I don't. I'm not exposed to Oprah. Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah has your vajayjay.
Oh, there you go.
My vajayjay is painin'. 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 My vajayjay is painin'.
Yo, yo.
My vajayjay is painin'.
All right, John. Turning to celebrity news. Here's some disturbing celebrity news for you.
Yeah.
Both the New York Daily Times and the New York Post are reporting that Lance Armstrong hooked up with, guess who, John? Guess who did Lance Armstrong hook up with?
One of the Olsen
That's
chicks?
Right. Ashley Olsen.
No way.
The odd were seen canoodling and nuzzling at New York's Gramercy Park Hotel.
Gramercy?
They came together with a group of friends. Ashley drank red wine, sat on his lap, and they were making out all night. They left together around 2 a.m. What wow. the fuck is Lance Armstrong thinking?
I don't know. What he is got he, a- like seven? Wait, he's got testicular cancer.
Right, he's a cancer survivor of the one of the most horrible ones for men, I would think. Prostate and testicular, right?
Yeah.
Because they got to lop off. They had to lop one off, didn't they?
Yeah, I got some audio of that. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear that. Sounds like they snapped
yeah,
it off.
Yeah, they just snap it right off.
Wow. He's 36 years old, John. Here's a guy who won the Tour de France how many times? Seven
37?
Times?
37.
In a row?
Yeah.
And he's with Ashley Olsen.
Yeah, of all the people he could be with.
What is it? And he used to date Sheryl Crow, right?
Yeah, and she's a fucking MILF. What is she, sort of.
But what is she thinking right now? Is she thinking, geez, I'm so glad I got out of that relationship. This
hey,
guy's.
You heard the new term? Flilf? Flilf?
Flilf?
Yeah.
No.
If Kucinich wins the election,
yeah,
we'll have a flilf.
A flilf?
A first lady I'd like to fuck.
I've never seen a photo of his wife.
She's
the flilf.
Hot, man.
The flilf. But Lance Armstrong, you need to get your head out of your ass, all right?
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I don't mind that she's 21 and he's 36. I really don't care. But she's Ashley Olsen, okay? Find some other 21-year-old that nobody knows about.
She's Ashley.
Not Ashley Olsen. Come on.
Ashley Olsen.
He's tarnishing
no
his reputation
yeah.
there, John.
Sure. Absolutely. Scott.
In other celebrity news, Daniel Craig has signed a $60 million deal to star in the next four James Bond films. So he'll
Who?
Be in Daniel Craig.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. He was out of sight now, wasn't
he's
he?
He's currently filming Bond 22, his second outing.
Anybody that could take a 5-inch balled-up knot to the nuts.
Basically, he'll be Bond for the next 10 years, John. Next 10 years. All right, now I got to talk about this cocksucker Jerry Seinfeld. So this pole smoker's got a movie coming out.
Why is he a cocksucker?
I'm going to tell you why. He's got a movie coming out about
it was funny.
Bees.
Not the movie I didn't see.
Barry B. Benson, a bee who has just graduated from college, is disillusioned at his lone career choice, making honey. On a special trip outside the hive, Barry's life is saved by Vanessa, a florist in New York City. As their relationship blossoms, he discovers humans actually eat honey, and subsequently decides to sue us. So that's the plot summary there. That sounds like a real winner, doesn't it, John?
Jew bastard.
It's something I want to take my kids to.
I'm
right?
sorry, I'm kidding.
All right, so Jerry Seinfeld is all over the place promoting this thing. Oh, and you know the other thing he does? He sticks Oprah in his movie so that he can go on his show and
yeah,
talk
right.
about it.
He's
and there's 46
genius,
million.
Man. He's stupid. Yeah. What would you do?
I don't know. I would think that I would write a movie and let it stand on its own. How about that?
Not if you want to be a bajillionaire.
He's not already a bajillionaire five times over. Larry King is in his movie. Oh, and my favorite, Chris Rock, is in his movie. That's got to be great.
Yeah, he plays a mosquito.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that.
Oh, my God.
So anyway,
you're going to see it.
So let's
see it together.
He's going all over. He's on all these shows doing interviews. Now, at the same time as this B movie comes out, well, go ahead and let's play Larry King.
I like the play on words. B movie. Get
let's,
it?
Yeah, that's great.
Larry Craig, did you say?
Larry King. King. Let's go play the Seinfeld 01, John. But Seinfeld.
Said how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. This is a show. Is this still CNN? I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were.
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers. Last episode.
What? You don't take it so bad.
Well, that's the big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie opens. B-movie opens.
Can we get a resume in here for me?
B-movie opens tomorrow. We'll be right back.
What an arrogant SOB this Seinfeld is.
Oh, he was kidding. Come on.
Kidding, schmitting. That was supposed to be funny then, is what you're saying. Yeah, that was real funny. That's funny, Jerry Seinfeld. It was real funny. Here's this guy won the goddamn lottery, John.
What's your fucking point?
He's a stand-up comedian.
I know, he's the worst fucking actor ever.
He's a horrible stand-up comedian. Who
really?
Ever found him funny? Did you ever find him funny?
I think some of his jokes are funny.
I don't even think they're jokes. It's just like observational stuff that's not funny.
Hey, I went to 7-Eleven, and there's locks on the doors. But 7-Eleven is open 24 hours. Why are there locks on the doors? What's up with that?
I mean, that's not fucking funny. It's stupid. So he's got a horrible stand-up. He hooks up with Larry David. And if you ever watch the Larry David show, you see the true creative genius behind Seinfeld. It was Larry David, and it was the fucking cast that they surrounded that horrible actor with. Horrible!
The actor that every time he says a line, he starts cracking up almost.
Oh, it's just, it's...
The
guy wins the lottery. And here's what it goes to show everybody. Just come up with the idea. Get somebody else to execute it for you, and you'll make a wad of cash.
Yeah, but he was one of the hottest comedians at the time, and obviously...
I can't believe that.
Well, why would they call it Seinfeld then?
He was one of the hottest comedians at the
time?
Actually,
it didn't do well in its first year, I think. I think it was...
How could you say he was one of the hottest comedians at the time? He was not one of the hottest comedians at the time.
Yeah,
he's Seinfeld.
He was like on Carson like four times.
Oh, right? Carson. Big deal.
Hey,
Carson.
When you're on Carson, you've made it.
That used to mean something. Not when Carson got older and a little bit senile. That didn't mean anything.
That used to mean
something. Yeah, that used to mean something.
Actually, Letterman started kicking off the comedy careers with Sam Kinison. Remember that?
I remember that. Now, Sam Kinison, there's a genius.
That's
not this Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh!
Luckiest, luckiest guy on the planet, this Jerry Seinfeld. So, Mr. Arrogant on Larry King, he's got to be all goddamn offended. You didn't know my show was number one? How could you possibly not know that? So then he goes on Letterman.
God, you're so tied in. What do you watch, E.T. every day?
I just don't like Seinfeld.
Entertainment Tonight.
You know, there's people's careers I don't understand, okay? Bob Dylan.
You ever notice when dogs are looking up at you when you're walking them?
I just don't understand.
It's because they see money and they're telling you quarter.
But I
nickel.
Saw a documentary about Bob Dylan, so I can respect his career. Right, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not going to buy an album, but I can respect his career.
You know why dogs don't have money? Because they don't have pockets.
Oh, that's funny. Gilbert Gottfried. I don't understand this guy. He's not funny to me, but he's got a career. But the Seinfeld, I don't understand him. And that would be fine. I wouldn't say anything. But he's so goddamn arrogant. It's like I made all this money.
Oh,
so success for him is correlated to money.
Money.
The more money he has, the more successful. But it's not. Okay? That's not what success is. And this B movie is going to prove that.
No, marrying a high school student.
He dumped her, didn't he?
After he ate her?
No, he went out with the 18-year-old, but he got too much shit from everybody, so he dumped her.
Right, right.
So then he marries this other woman, Jessica, right? So what does Jessica do? She wants to write books, so she's going to write a cookbook for kids. How to jam veggies into food so the kids don't notice it.
Hey, I can eat carrots. I didn't know I could eat fucking carrots.
So she comes out with this book, but this other woman came out with a book. The other woman's book was released earlier. And this other woman didn't say a damn thing. She didn't say anything. The media is who started accusing his wife of potentially plagiarism, right? So here's what this pole smoker does. He goes on to Letterman.
Her, I know.
Go ahead and play the second clip, and let's hear what he says on Letterman.
So she makes a cookbook. Everybody is happy. It does well. Seemingly an innocent sequence of events. Mm. Now, you know, having a career in show business, one of the fun facts of celebrity life is wackos will wait in the woodwork to pop out at certain moments of your life to inject a little adrenaline into your life experience.
Yes, just a little tap to get your attention.
Yes. Yeah. I have wackos. You have had wackos. Yeah. I believe your wackos are very well documented.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Now,
that's one good thing. We got all the paperwork.
Now, if you're any good as a woodwork wacko, you're patient. You wait, you pick your moment, and then you spring out and go wacko. So there's another woman who had another cookbook.
Oh.
And it was a similar kind of thing with the food and the vegetables in the food. And my wife never saw the book, read the book, used the book.
Knew but
the
books about it.
Didn't know anything about it. But the books came out at the same time. Mm-hmm. So this woman says, I sense this could be my wacko moment.
Ah. Oh.
So she comes out and she says, and she accuses my wife. She says, you stole my mushed up carrots. You can't put mushed up carrots in a casserole. I put mushed up carrots in a casserole.
Ridiculous.
It's vegetable plagiarism.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
this is what I'm telling you. This is what happened.
First of all.
Okay, so that's supposed to be fucking funny. First of all, she never came out and said anything. She never said a goddamn word. And he's going on national television and calling her a wacko. Not only that, you remember the fucking wackos that were at... those people broke into his house.
Right, right.
They did all sorts of shit.
That's different.
And he's putting this woman who just wrote a book. That's all she did.
Right.
He's putting her on a level with people that break and enter into Letterman's property.
Seinfeld's not a wacko for fucking being engaged to a 17-year-old high school student in his 30s.
That's a different kind of wacko, okay, John? This is a woodwork wacko.
So wackos
whatever
the
hell
woodwork.
That is. What a pole-smoking cocksucker. And you know what? You know what I hope, John? I hope that that wife of his dumps his ass and takes half his money like that Heather Mills did to Paul McCartney.
Right.
Takes all of it from
takes
Seinfeld. And you know what? He would starve because who's going to hire that MF? That guy, didn't he put a movie together that followed him around?
He put a fucking movie together.
A documentary on his stand-up?
Did he? I don't know.
Nobody's buying that thing. Nobody. Nobody's buying that movie.
Seinfeld received $267 million during 1998, according to Forbes magazine. How about that?
From syndication. All because of Larry David.
Yeah. He turned down $5 million per episode for 22 episodes to continue the show beyond its final season. In 2006, he earned $60 million from syndication deals and stand-up appearances.
That's like mega lottery, John. The big game. That's what he won. A marginally talented. The only talent he has is he can get up in front of a group of people and talk. That's it, if you ask me. He's not funny. Larry Craig is the true genius, and he rode Larry Craig's coattails. And meanwhile, a guy like Kramer has to use the N-word and get vilified.
Who? Larry who?
What did I say?
Larry Craig?
Larry David.
Larry David. Larry Craig every time.
Larry
he rode
David.
Larry Craig's coattails from the Minneapolis airport bathroom.
No. What a correction. I need to make a correction there. Larry David, not Larry Craig. But that a-hole.
What an ass.
So this B-movie comes out. It's gonna do well because it's a kid's movie, so there's a built-in audience. I'm not taking my kids. I am never letting them see that stupid-ass movie. And it's going to come and go. It's not going to be one of your... one of your kids' movies that's going to be a favorite, you know, like a Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Like
I don't know if I could buy any of that bullshit in that movie.
That's a bunch of
shit. A bee interacting with humans? Keep it on the fucking animated insect level.
Well, the story goes that he's just having lunch with Spielberg, and he says, hey, I want to make a bee movie about a bee. Like he's trying out his new stand-up, right?
Yeah.
And Spielberg gets on the phone, and he talks to Katzenberg and says, hey, I got this great idea. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's greenlight it. Seinfeld didn't have a goddamn idea what he wanted to do. So now he's got to actually do some work, and he puts this piece of shit. I guarantee it's going to be a piece of shit. Together.
All right, settle down, man.
It's not going to be funny. I can tell you that if he's in charge.
All right, what do you got, man? What do you got? Moving on.
Moving on. I don't know if you've heard this, John. I may not have heard it either. Oh, but Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. He's putting the attack on atheists, John.
Really?
This is from a while ago. I just found it on the web. This is from May 14th of 2007. You remember when those guys went on Nightline and they debated Kirk Cameron and...
Yeah.
I forget. We covered that, but I can't remember who those guys were. But so Chuck Norris, right after that aired, posted this. I don't know. He started blogging or something. But this is by the great Chuck Norris, John. Chuck Norris. The Dateline, the debate that aired on Nightline, testifies to the growing number, 30 million Americans, of those who profess there is no God. Add to that what I believe is possibly three times the number of functional atheists, those who believe in a God but practically don't show it. It's really good writing there, Chuck. And America's facing a new religious horizon in which atheism is becoming a formidable foe. It's a foe, John.
Oh.
Now, most Christians would say, well, we need to save the atheists so that we don't get letters like from hell, you know?
Yeah, right.
Not Chuck Norris. We're foes, John. We are foes. And what is... he just believes that three times the number of functional atheists. What? Where did he come up with that? Did he do a study?
Three times the number of functional atheists.
I don't even know what the fuck that means. I mean, this is so poorly written.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
That's those who believe in God... but practically don't show it.
What?
Those are functional atheists. So let's say you and I believed in God, but we didn't go to church and we didn't show it. There was no observation from a third party that we believed in God. We are functional atheists in Chuck Norris's eyes. The majority of Americans continue to claim to be Christians. Although that happens, a Gallup poll discovered 45% of us would support an atheist for a president. Can you believe that?
That's right.
Is that despicable or what? Such a survey is a clear indication that the secularization of society is alive and well. To many more agnostic groups and individuals, to theism abound, and they are using every means possible for global proliferation. Proliferation from local government to the World Wide Web, John. And he goes on to list a bunch of groups. Though the U.S. Constitution outlaws religious discrimination, these organizations and individuals would love nothing more than to help society look at disdain upon Christianity and ultimately make its components illegal. In fact, right now they are coalescing and rallying at least 5 million of their troops to mount counter-offensives to Christianity. John, did you get that memo in the mail?
No.
I didn't get that letter in the mail. Where are these 5 million troops coming from? And is that our goal? Is our goal to help society look at disdain upon Christianity? That's not the goal. Our only beef is atheists.
Right.
Is that the shit gets involved in government.
Right.
And it dictates government policy. Based on a fairy tale. And that's what we have a problem with. If it had nothing to do with government, we'd still make fun of it. But we wouldn't get our panties in a bunch, would we?
Scott, a functional atheist, it is not a matter of them thinking God does not exist, but that they are denying him. They do not want to believe that he is there. He has denied God by denying or renouncing that God says about himself.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, God says plainly in many scriptures that he will judge for sin This is what the Ten Commandments are all about, Scott. They right define on. Sin for us. By them we know what is good and what is not good, so we can come into judgment before him without excuse.
So, John, without the Ten Commandments, we would be completely lost. We wouldn't know, for example, that it's not right to kill somebody. If it wasn't for the Ten Commandments, we would just be killing people, wouldn't we?
Well, you know, if you put it another way, the wicked man has fooled himself into believing that God will not require an accounting for sin. So here's the rules. Follow the rules. And if you do, you go to heaven. If you don't, you're going to go into the lake of fire.
That would be hell, John. Hell.
Hell, yeah.
For that reason, I believe theistic, John, patriots need to be wise to atheists' overt and covert schemes, exposing their agenda in fighting to lay waste to their plans.
Ugh.
So Chuck Norris is declaring war on atheists, John.
I want to fight Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I'll fight him right now. Give him a call.
Kick his fucking. So then he goes into some arguments that
ass.
He has. For those liberal groups to win the war of ideological dominance, they know they must minimize the effects of Christianity, which many are doing, unbeknownst to others, behind the scenes through lobbying.
They're not doing anything.
And legislation. In fact, two significant actions occurred on National Day of Prayer just 2 weeks ago, John. The London Telegraph noted that while American Christians were praying across the land on the National Day of Prayer, atheists were petitioning the Texas legislature against the civic display of the words, "In God We Trust." Okay, so I'm all for
you
that.
You know, I heard a kind of a radical thing by Penn Jillette. Somebody got him one of those dollar coins, you know, those new, I think they're like Thomas Jefferson had dollar coins. They're
mm-hmm.
gold.
Mm-hmm.
And around the end, I guess the end, you know, like on a quarter where it's serrated.
Right.
They were supposed to be serrated too and say, "In God We Trust," but the mint fucked up and like 50,000 of them went into circulation.
Uh-huh.
And you can buy them now like on eBay for $70. Well, somebody bought him one as a gift for like $30, and he keeps it in his pocket, not for luck, but as a reminder of having this cool government printed piece of money without "In God We Trust." And he said that every bill that he has, he can't do it to coins, but every bill he scratches out the God and "In God We Trust." And I started doing that myself, man. I'm doing the same thing.
Chuck mentions that in his piece. He says earlier this year, George Washington dollar coins were not inscribed with the words "In God We Trust" on their edges, but many excluded them entirely. Such minting modifications are a flagrant defiance against theism and a public reflection of the place God is now relegated to, the fringes of society. Can you believe this shit?
That can't be true, man. Are you sure he wrote that?
It says right here by Chuck Norris, man. I'll show it to you. I got the doc. Seculars, of course, have made repeated attempts to rid "Under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank God, John, the legislature of Texas is moving along a bill to include the words in our state pledge. "Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God and indivisible." I'm also grateful to read the Dallas Morning News that the House also embraced legislation that seeks to clarify the rights of Texas public school students to offer public prayers at football games or graduation, hand out religious messages, or hold religious meetings during the school day if they want. Yeah, I'm so proud of that. Yeah, let's send our kids to Texas so they get a good education, huh, John? How about that?
Yeah.
Another example of atheistic advocacy found that the number 10,000-member Freedom From Religion Foundation, there's a Supreme Court case which asserts that President Bush's faith-based, I'm really struggling, initiatives pose a violation of the wall of separation of church and state. Well, right on. And we played some Pete Stark before. Did you know that he is the highest ranking elected official in the country to make known that he is a non-theist? Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I've heard of Pete Stark.
Right on, Pete Stark. He's the guy said he went after Bush and said that soldiers were dying for his amusement. And then the next day had to apologize. Right. But get this. Here's where Chuck says Pete Stark, his election stands in stark contrast to the wishes of our founding fathers, who encouraged America's citizens to vote Christians into public office. As John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States, wrote to Jedediah Morris,
Jedediah,
Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is, the duty, as well as the privilege and the interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Did you know that? And then he goes into this long-winded thing that there's a new bill on the Senate floor, and this may have gotten passed. I don't know. The Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, right? So it's if there's a hate crime involved, based on a victim's race, religion, gender, identity, sexual orientation, etc., there's going to be a little bit stiffer penalties, right? So there's that bill. Somehow he turns this around and says, this is the worst law ever because they're going to be able to go after Christians because of this. Here's the paragraph. As with other laws of this type, once enacted, local justices could easily expand its interpretive enforcement to encompass a wider meaning than originally conceived. Once enforced, what would stop a clergy from being accused as an accessory to a hate crime after he preached to his church on Sunday about the woes of same-sex marriage and discovered on Monday one of his congregants got into a fight with a homosexual coworker as a result of the moral altercation?
Right.
So if the hate crime bill passes, pastors could easily become pulpit partners in crime.
That's why it's like, they were saying it's, you can't walk around with a t-shirt that says, I hate fags, but you could walk around with one that says, God hates fags. Because it'd be hate speech if it's, I hate fags.
Oh.
But it's not considered hate speech if God hates fags.
Well, Chuck says hate crime laws are not only a violation of our First Amendment rights, because when he hates somebody, he wants to let them know it.
Yeah.
But a violation of the 10th Amendment's limitations of power of federal government. What a bunch of shit. This guy's a total goddamn whack job. Now, it says here, stay tuned. The second half of his essay, he's going to cover and convey one of the most shocking, despicable, atheist tactics he's ever seen. But I cannot find the second part anywhere. That's going to be my goal for next week, is to find the second part where we can find out about the most shocking, despicable, atheist tactics that Chuck Norris has ever seen. Asswipe. I don't care about your stupid fairy tales. Just don't make them dictate public policy. That's all. That's all I'm saying, John. Other than that, Chuck Norris and I could sit down and have a beer, right? And talk about Bruce Lee.
Are you sure he wrote that, man?
Yeah, I'll show you the doc, man, the doc. Quit surfing the web and communicate with me. God damn it. Hello?
Yeah, okay. I'm listening. Shut up.
All right, let's turn to science news, Sean.
Science news. I just want you to get off of Chuck Norris, man.
Doctors, why, you got a thing for Chuck Norris?
No, I can't take it anymore.
Well, you know, you have an image of somebody from their work on television or whatever, or in Bruce Lee movies, and then you read shit like that, and you're like, oh, it's just another goddamn idiot.
Did you read about the tattoo, right?
What tattoo?
He's going to tattoo.
Who does? Chuck?
Yeah.
No.
He's going to tattoo every atheist.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, he said he's going to tattoo an American flag with the words "In God We Trust" on the forehead of every atheist.
When did he say that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Somewhere.
You just heard that?
They don't say what date he said it.
Okay.
I saw it on Dig, okay? Ass.
All right, so he's worried about a pastor who talks about the blasphemy and abomination of homosexuality being charged for a hate crime, but he's going to go tattoo American flags on people's foreheads?
Yeah.
This is not a thinking man, John. He is not a thinking
man.
He
will require members of Congress to work out on the total gym 15 minutes each day. Cut spending by dismissing the Secret Service. Because why would he need it?
Oh, that's if he becomes president.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris becomes president.
Resurrect Bruce Lee and appoint him head of Homeland Security.
What, did Seinfeld write this?
Give presidential pardon to no one ever. Beretta was right in the 70s. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't do it!
All right, let's move ourselves away from this non-thinking man.
Increase jobs in America by sending ninja teams to sabotage and steal them back from other countries.
Yeah, that's great. That's funny. Let's turn to science. John, science. Did you know this? Doctors are studying the effects of surgery to define washboard abdominal muscles. Do you ever know that?
What?
You know that?
Wait a minute.
Old
what?
Method of getting washboard abs work out. New method, detailed body fat is removed, enhancing the shapely figure of the underlying muscles of the abdomen. These muscles are typically unseen or smothered under 1 to 2 inches of fat. Guess how much this costs?
I don't know. A couple grand?
4 to 7 G's.
Wow.
4 to 7 G's so that you can show your six-pack abs. There is a caveat, though, John. The procedure has been performed in females, but leaves a somewhat unnatural look.
Ah.
So you're paying $4,000 to $7,000 to show your abs that leaves an unnatural look. Why not just work out?
Right.
Who would do this? People are insane, John. They're insane. And who's the doctor that would perform this? Aren't doctors...
Well, because of genetics, I don't think everybody can have a six-pack, dude.
So just get on with your life. I can't have hair. I'm not running around trying to get goddamn hair on my head.
I don't know why you're upset at me. I'm just, you know, saying.
I'm not upset at you,
John. I got
damn
hair!
I'm not upset at you.
Get on with your life.
Just deal with it. You don't have...
I thought you were yelling at me because I'm fat.
What other people may have, but that's what defines you as you. Just be yourself. Jesus Christ.
If I had liposuction, they'd say, ooh, we just sucked out a chunk of ham.
4 to 7 G's people are paying. And what doctor's Hippocratic Oath. Doesn't it fall outside the Hippocratic Oath?
That's really goddamn ridiculous.
To
I
suck
know.
Fat out so they can have a six-pack?
I know.
What the fuck you waiting for, bitch? Start sucking.
In our other science news, John, the Pope is back in science news.
Ah, the Pope.
You would think the Pope and science?
The
that
Pope?
Doesn't go together, right?
No.
But the Pope urged pharmacists to preach the immortality. I'm sorry. The immorality of morning after pills.
Oh,
here's what he said. John, pharmacists must seek to raise people's awareness so that all human beings are protected from conception to natural death. Number two, we cannot anesthetize consciousness as regards, for example, the effect of certain molecules that have the goal of preventing the implantation of an embryo. Number three, pharmacists are entitled to refuse to collaborate directly or indirectly in supplying the pills or other products that have clearly immoral purposes. So I guess if you're a Catholic and you're a pharmacist, you can say, I'm not going to give you... birth control?
I guess not.
Because
they can't. They've already established that.
Yeah, didn't Walgreens say then you're going to lose your goddamn job, right?
Which is fair enough.
Oh,
I think that's fair enough.
This is only for Italian pharmacists. So if you go to Italy and you want your pills, the Italian pharmacist has the right to say, you need to not do this.
Well, the wife got into it with a pharmacist yesterday.
About what?
I don't know. I got this call, and it's a pharmacy call, and the guy's like, hey, is your wife there? No, she's out shopping or something. Oh, okay. This is Joe from the pharmacy. Yeah, you know, I was supposed to call her because we couldn't get a hold of her doctor. And I realized, you know, this stuff happens, and we should have called. And I'm really sorry. Could you tell her I'm really sorry? Yeah, this stuff happens. And, yeah, I shouldn't be making excuses. Okay.
He didn't leave that as a message? You actually talked to him?
You talked to him. Yeah, I had no idea what he was talking about. Hang up, call the wife. Yeah, that fucker. You know what the fuck he did? I'm like, what? Two times he was supposed to call the doctor to get my prescription refilled because it said second two refills or something on it. And she turned it in for a refill. And they're supposed to call, I guess, when they can't get a hold of the doctor because he said that your prescription will be ready in an hour. She comes back in an hour. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we couldn't get a hold of your doctor. Okay. Try back in about another hour. Okay. Tries back in another hour. Oh, I forgot to call him. So she goes apeshit on this guy. Hey. We don't have to call him. That's not part of our policy. I mean, if we do call him, we don't have to call you. And my wife says, what? Hey, listen, from now on, I'm taking my business elsewhere. Fuck this place.
Right on. So then he called and apologized?
Yeah, he calls. I guess she made a big scene.
No, really?
Yeah.
Your wife?
No.
I can't imagine that.
Has she made a big scene before?
My favorite was when she was pregnant with your first
daughter,
child.
Yeah.
At Flatlanders?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. That was
she
awesome.
She lost it on
that
the dude.
That was awesome.
Blah, 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 blah. Well, we were there for like 2 hours before we got water.
Well, it was they were trying to figure out the process,
yeah.
You know. That's the reason we were there. We were getting a free meal. So they could work through and make sure they got everything covered.
We got no meal.
We actually did them a favor. We provided that the fact that they didn't have everything covered. Right on. Well, let's turn to
that. I was bitching in the bathroom about the service, and I found out that the guy that was in there with me was the owner.
So, wait a minute. You're taking a leak and you're talking to the guy next to you?
No, I'm washing my hands next to the guy.
Washing your hands. All right. That's okay
to
have conversation then.
I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, you know.
It's not okay to have conversation when you got the old lower unit in your right hand.
No. I was holding his while I was talking to him. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Oh, that reminds me. I'm gluten-free, right, John?
Right.
And since I've been gluten-free...
But you're not creamy and vitamin E-free.
I have no problems whatsoever with bowel movements. I mean, this shit just literally falls out of me. I don't have... I'm not like Elvis, you know, grunting
right,
and moaning
right.
and groaning and having a goddamn coronary. It just falls right out. But I kind of want to go back to the old way. Because the old way... Remember Sheryl Crow came out and said you only use one sheet?
Yeah.
When I could do that the old way.
Yeah, right.
Because there was no mess. It was really a functional turd cutter. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But this now, I need to take a goddamn shower every time I drop a deuce. I cannot get clean back there. And I used to go into the restrooms at work or wherever, and you'd walk in and you'd see... Just like a swirly mess of fecal matter on the bowl. You know what I mean?
That's brutal, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate that.
Yeah, and I would see that. I'd be like, oh, what kind of a mess
Wad
is that?
Wad up some toilet paper and then, you know.
Get this. I'm the guy who leaves those messes now.
Oh, no.
That's me. When you see that in a bathroom, I just probably walked out of that stall.
Oh, dude. Come
yeah, it's,
on.
It's embarrassing, even at home.
Well, do some more toilet paper in there and flush it again.
Oh, I'm not sticking my hand in the toilet.
No, I'm saying you wad up some toilet paper and you just throw it in there. What the fuck? Yeah.
But now, I used to be in and out within 30 seconds. I mean, one wipe and it was just a confirmation wipe that there was
sure
no issue.
Nothing, yeah.
Now, I'm still, it's just falls
it's
right
like
out.
You're still shitting.
But it takes 3 minutes, and I go through a half a roll of toilet paper just to, and I still don't even feel clean. It's horrible, John.
It's horrible.
And I can't, you know, I think about.
You know what you do? You dip the toilet paper in the water.
Oh, right.
That helps
you know,
it out.
Kevin Smith was talking about some flushable wet naps that they have now. Yeah. So I need to get
those
some of those.
Those are great. But I like those. They have like a baby fresh scent.
Oh, you have some?
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to pick some up. But then it makes me think about people like 100 years ago that used corn on the cob and shit like that to wipe their ass.
Oh, Jesus.
And before this change, I could see that. You know, just one cob to figure out, yeah, I'm clean back there. But I would need to go through a goddamn cornfield to get clean, and I still wouldn't feel clean. It's just awful. I want to start eating gluten again just so I don't even have this issue. The one benefit, though, is I take probably one shower a day, where before I would shower maybe once a week.
Yeah.
But I just never feel clean anymore. And the worst is I take a shower, and 10 minutes later I'm, you know, dropping a deuce.
Oh.
And it's like, couldn't I have waited a half an hour to take my shower? It's awful.
It's gnarly.
But I'm not going to be keeling over on the can.
I shit like Elvis. Like, I shit like a fucking beer can the other day. I forgot to tell that story.
A Foster's?
No, not a Foster's, but it was about the size of a 12-ounce beer can. And I had to grab, like, the towel bar
to bear down.
Bear down, yeah. Oh, my God. And it was like, fuck. and the taper was like touching my ass.
Oh yeah,
the taper was sticking out of the water.
Those are the good old days for me, when it would kind of just drag along your scrotum.
Yeah,
and then you'd know it kind of.
Or you get like a peanut that's like pointy and it's scraping your rectum all the way out.
Rectum,
damn near killed him. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that, man. All right, let's get into the heavy metal segment of the show.
The heavy metal segment.
Heavy metal segment of the show.
All right. Heavy metal segment with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott. Now, John, we played a lot of clips, and we talked extensively about the Don't Tase Me Bro guy.
Right.
And we don't think the guy did anything wrong. He didn't do a goddamn thing wrong.
Not a goddamn thing.
He may have been a little bit rude, but people can be rude. What, you're going to be tasered for being rude now?
That's what I'm hearing.
So this guy comes out, and I think he was on Matt Lauer, and I brought a couple of clips in. Let's go here. Go ahead
Matt.
And hear. He's apologizing now.
What?
He's apologizing. The Don't Tase Me Bro is apologizing. Go ahead and...
It was the electric shock heard around the world.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. I can't do anything.
Now, 21-year-old Andrew Meyer, who was stunned by police with a taser at a Senator John Kerry forum at the University of Florida, says he's sorry. In several apology letters, Meyer writes, "I stepped out of line at the Kerry Forum. I violated the rules of the forum and was disruptive." Prosecutors say as long as Meyer doesn't later say he only wrote the apologies to get out of trouble, the felony resisting arrest charge will be dropped.
Absolutely, he wrote that to get out of trouble.
I love the guy's announcer. He says he's sorry. And then I just love his inflection. I mean, the guy's he's totally pissed that this guy, it seems like he apologized. He holds him in total contempt.
Yeah.
He says he's sorry. So the second clip now we're actually going to hear from this guy. But the funniest thing about it, this clip lasts like 5 minutes long. The funniest goddamn thing about it is, they're having this conversation with this kid and his family. His mom and dad are there. And the whole time, they're playing in the background.
Him being zapped?
Him being tasered.
Oh, my God.
So they must not have pumped it through their
the
cans.
Headphone. No, of course not.
So it must have been like a...
bed.
A back bed. But... So you're trying to listen to them talk about this, and you
Don't
hear him in the background.
Me, bro.
They keep playing it over and over. That was funny.
We've said, and now
what he has to say.
We've said, and now in the negotiations process with police and university, you've written some letters of apology, correct?
You know, I did step out of line at the forum. I broke the forum rules, and I want to apologize for that. I also want to apologize for the negative light this whole incident has cast on the university. Nothing like this has ever happened at the university before. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before.
So wait, let me make sure. Were you wrong, or were the police who tasered you wrong? What's your opinion on that?
You know, I think that the police were acting, they were doing their job, is what they were trying to do. I think that I'm here to talk about the important issues, not the sensationalist issues, not the tabloid journalism that the media wants to cover about the taser, about me personally. I think it's important that Americans realize that we have an election coming up, and your vote might not count. You need to realize that there's important things in this country that aren't being discussed.
So let me just make sure. You didn't write these, and your lawyer is sitting right across from me, probably staring at me right now, but you didn't write these letters of apology to the university and the police simply to avoid prosecution, where in your mind you feel something else.
No, I wrote those letters of apology sincerely. I mean, there was rules in place. I did not follow the rules, and that's my fault.
See, I don't know the backstory to this, but
yeah,
what he's saying is, I want to talk about more important issues, but what he doesn't realize is this has become a huge important issue.
Right.
You got fucking tasered for exercising your free speech rights. This is a goddamn police state. That's the most important issue. Well, voter fraud, I mean, that is an important issue.
Yeah.
But in current affairs, our free speech in the police state that America is becoming is a huge goddamn issue. And by him apologizing, and who knows what goes on behind the scenes, I blame it on his lawyer. If he had a fucking good lawyer, this guy would have gotten off.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing that he did wrong to be tasered.
No.
You can be rude in this country. You could be stupid in this country. Look, we got the W in charge.
Right, right.
That doesn't give anybody the right to taser you. And these cops were out of line. They don't know how to do their jobs. They were just doing their jobs. Well, whoever trained them didn't train them
before they had the taser.
They would have. Well, they thought, the cops said, we thought about spraying him with pepper spray, but then they would have sprayed some other people maybe. So they didn't do that. Why not just grab? There's like six of you. Just grab the guy, haul him out of the forum, and then just say, "Hey, man, you can't go back in. Go home. That's it." How hard is that? But no, they got to taser the guy for his free speech. And even dragging him out of there was, wrong. If they didn't even taser him, if they just dragged him out, it would still be wrong. The guy didn't do anything wrong. Now, he says he broke forum rules. I don't know what those forum rules are. But I think this lawyer, he had a cop out here. I'm sure the ACLU would have got behind this case. It's an important case for free speech. And they're just caving. They're saying, yeah, I was wrong.
You got to put up with it. If the rules are broken, then, you know, at some point, give them a ticket afterwards. But there's no reason for any kind of physical violence.
Right. I mean, he didn't act aggressively towards them.
Here's
he
the
just
rules.
Said, hey.
Well, did it say in the rules, if you break the foreign rules, we're going to fucking tackle you down to the ground and taser you?
I don't know. That's a good question. But
maybe
I think
it's a
cop-out.
The foreign rules say, hey, if you break foreign rules, you'll be, suspended for a semester or some contractual agreement of what the rules are. But it's a public school, isn't it?
I would think so. And then from the prosecution's angle, of course they're going to come at him and say, hey, if you don't win, you're going to be charged with this federal fucking offense. It's not going to look good on your record. You may not be hired because of it. So the kid's just, you know, finishing up or starting college or whatever. I don't know. So that's got to be something that's on his mind. But for somebody that is so outspoken or seems so outspoken at the John Kerry thing to cave like that, I wonder what other kind of pressure they put on this kid.
Yeah.
It has to be something else. And I kept waiting for the but, you know. Well, you know, I didn't follow the forum rules, and I did, but the but never came. No but.
Have you ever, like, and this is so crazy. They got so many fucking, like, every candidate has Secret Service people, even the W. It's like, why do you even need to have some cops drag you down and taser your ass. I mean, have you ever heard of the people that travel with the president?
I've heard
of
them.
How many people?
Yes, I've heard about them.
250 Secret Service agents.
Wow.
When he went to Australia, 250 of them.
Well, the Australians wanted to, they were pretty pissed at the W.
Right.
They seem to be more pissed than we are here in America.
Well, the W, he wanted to know, his handlers wanted to know if they could have permission to shoot to kill in the UK without getting in trouble. And the Brits are like, no. No, you
shoot
can't.
To kill.
You cannot.
What is that from Cheney? Cheney?
He has the W has 150 national security advisors. So 250 agents, 150 security advisors, 50 White House political aides. 50 political aides, 15 sniffer dog teams, 200 representatives from other U.S. departments. Five personal chef and his team of four cooks, so five cooks.
Well, one thing that would be interesting to know is the W after 9/11 had a 90% approval. Did he still have that tremendous staff, or have they had to add on to that staff since his ratings have plummeted like 75 goddamn points?
He flies in. They fly two identical Boeing 747-200s and a third chartered jumbo jet. A Sea King helicopter, a Black Hawk helicopter, and two Scott identical motorcades of 20 armored vehicles, including a limousine. All that shit for our fucking president. And they ripped on Clinton for $14 million it cost to fly to China with his entourage, which was like half of what the W has.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That's fucked up, man.
I'm so sick of the Republican Democrat.
We can't pay any fucking taxes for the S chip. We can't pay it for education. We got to pay a shitload of fucking taxes for Blackwater and the W's fucking entourage. Give me a goddamn break. Shut the government down.
And for being in Iraq, that's just wonderful.
Ten times the predicted cost. I mean, that's just fucking stupid. Anybody who can work a goddamn calculator or a piece of chalk can figure out that just fucked up.
That is fucked
mathematically.
Oh, I got a stupid story here. This may be the stupidest story ever, John. Stupidest one ever. I didn't write where
it
came from.
Is it about the W?
I think it was from the AP or from Rutgers, Reuters. Here's what the headline is. Get this. Blackwater immunity deal may complicate Iraq probe. Okay, so Blackwater, they killed 17 people. Iraq is trying to figure out what the hell went on.
Coming to a town near you, Scott.
The W gives them immunity, and the headline is, it may complicate Iraq probe. What? I don't think there's an Iraq probe anymore. Why are you wasting your time if these guys got fucking immunity? That's so goddamn stupid. What else? What do you got?
Cheney says, Hugo Chavez is the president of Peru. He didn't say that.
Of course not.
This morning in a speech in Dallas, or this wasn't this morning, it was a couple days ago, a reporter asked Vice President Cheney about his views on Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Cheney responded that the people of Peru deserve better leadership. The moderator said, our attention is focused on Iraq, Iran, and the wider Middle East. However, much of the world is watching closely. Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, how concerned are you about his influence? Cheney says, I'm trying to think how to state this diplomatically. Ha ha ha, laughter. Diplomacy is hard sometimes. I can't do Cheney. I sound like Robinson.
Yeah.
We have refrained from making public pronouncements about Mr. Chavez. I think for good and legitimate reasons. He's obviously an individual with his own agenda, and he spends a great deal of his time worrying about us and criticizing the United States. Yeah. My own personal view is that he does not represent the future of Latin America and the people of Peru. okay. By the way, for the record, Peru's current president is Alan Garcia.
Yeah, but he never said that Chavez was the president. He just said he doesn't represent Latin America or the people of Peru. What they think.
We have to refrain from making public pronouncements about Mr. Chavez. I think it's good criticizes and the people of Peru, I think, deserve better in their leadership, but that's obviously a matter they've got to resolve for themselves.
Right. So maybe he's talking about Hugo Chavez, but he doesn't like the leader of Peru either. And he threw that one in
right.
there.
Right.
I'm going to stand up for Cheney on this one.
Yeah, whatever. You know Cheney parses words and every oh, that's exactly what it'll take.
Cheney. Right on. I got this one about Giuliani. Did you hear about this? I really do not like Rudolph Giuliani.
No.
Now we'll do a special when the Democratic and the Republican nominee, and we'll cover their backgrounds extensively. But so far, Giuliani and Clinton are in the lead. That's what it looks like. And if Giuliani wins the nomination, I can't see a future for the Republican Party in the United States of America. This guy is a total cocksucker. GOP presidential frontrunner Rudolph Giuliani stumbled badly at a town hall meeting in Iowa last night when an audience baffled him with a trick question.
Trick question.
Mr. Giuliani, who has made reference to 9/11, the foundation of his campaign for the Republican nomination, was like deer in the headlights when the surprise question came his way. So the whole platform that he runs on is he experienced 9/11.
Yeah,
and
right.
because of that, he's going to be a good president. What a crock of shit. So here's what some guy did. The former New York mayor had been cruising through the town hall meeting up to that point, answering a wide range of questions on immigration, economy, global warming, all referencing 9/11. So you ask a guy a question about immigration, he talks about 9/11. You ask him about global warming, he talks about 9/11.
Right.
But the tone of the event changed abruptly when one audience member, Tracy Collegian of Cedar Rapids, asked the GOP frontrunner, "Can you name one thing that happened on September 12th? Mr. Giuliani seemed taken aback by the question, clearing his throat and drinking from a glass of water as if to buy time before responding. And guess what he said, John? Guess what this cocksucker said?
Right, right.
That's a good question, Mr. Giuliani said. September 12th happened one day after September 11th. And we must never forget the lessons of September 11th.
Oh, my God. And we make fun of the W. How dare we? There's actually somebody stupider.
I don't know about that.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Giuliani's aides later said that their candidate had expertly parried a difficult question, but also offered excuses for Mr. Giuliani's apparent failure to refer to any other date besides September 11th. The man has a lot of dates to keep track of, an aide told reporters. For one thing, he's had three different wedding anniversaries.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? That's what the guy said?
Yeah, that's got to be made up.
That's got to be bullshit.
All right, so then in other news, John, I don't know if you heard this, but there's a state of emergency in Pakistan.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So the W has spent a lot of time trying to get this guy in Pakistan, get him in charge. It's a democratic Pakistan, John, democratic Pakistan. The guy has to put the country under a state of emergency because people aren't buying this shit. They're not ready for democracy. It's not that you just turn a switch and you're going to be democratic.
Right.
Right? You got to fight for it, John.
Right.
Like our founding fathers did. You got to have a reason to lose the current system and fight for it yourselves. Anyways, here's what the Sunday edition of the New York Times said for more about Pakistan. For more than 5 months, the United States has been trying to orchestrate a political transition in Pakistan that would manage to somehow keep General Pervez Musharraf in power without making a mockery of President Bush's promotion of democracy in the Muslim world. On Saturday, those carefully laid plans fell apart spectacularly. Now the White House is stuck in a wait-and-see mode with limited options and a lack of clarity about a way forward, John. A way forward. A new way forward. Musara Fafi declared emergency rule Saturday evening, putting the army in charge of Islamabad. Most of the Supreme Court was disbanded after they refused to certify his decision. So he just got rid of the Supreme Court. The Times said Pakistan was close to a Bush administration nightmare. An American-backed military dictator who is risking civil instability in a country with nuclear weapons.
Yeah, and we're messing with countries that don't have either.
Yeah. Nuclear weapons.
Hello?
They also noted that top Al-Qaeda leaders, Osama bin Laden, are believed to be hiding out in Pakistan.
And have been since the fucking beginning of the attack on Afghanistan to try and get him.
Again, another story that just confirms the W's complete failure.
Did you
anything resembling a leader?
Oh, right. The chimp. Did you watch any of the Democratic debates?
I did not.
Did you hear what Joe Biden said about Giuliani?
I did not.
He said, and the irony is Rudy Giuliani, probably the most underqualified man since George Bush to seek the presidency, is here talking about any of the people here. Rudy Giuliani, I mean, think about it. Rudy Giuliani? There's only three things he mentions in a sentence. A noun, a verb, and 9/11. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And I mean this sincerely. He's genuinely not qualified to be president, but it was fucking hilarious when he said he only mentions three things in a sentence, a noun, a verb, and 9/11.
That's the truth.
And I was trying to pull that up when you were telling the story. I fucking forgot.
And Giuliani is the front runner. That is unbelievable to me. I mean, I know. All those Republicans are goddamn mopes. But Giuliani,
tools.
Except for Ron Paul.
Yeah.
But Paraboli doesn't like Ron Paul at all, John. Not at all.
Not at all.
Would he rather have a Giuliani as the front runner?
No, he wants Kucinich.
Kucinich? Is he the one who saw UFOs?
Yeah. That was great.
Well, that's funny.
You know, Jimmy Carter saw UFOs.
Was it right before or right after he called for the sanity to be checked on the W?
Yeah.
Because,
by the way, I saw a UFO.
Yeah.
I was in one. Yeah.
But all he said was he saw something that he couldn't identify that appeared to be flying. That's it. That's what Jimmy Carter said, too.
Hey, man, we got a couple more politicians in trouble.
No, really?
This one, a Florida politician caught soliciting gay sex in a mall restroom. A two-term city commissioner and mayoral candidate has been caught in a gay sex sting, reports the Daytona Beach News Journal Friday.
And this is after Larry Craig.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and it's exactly this, almost the same thing. The cop here says, it's scumbags like this that erode the quality of life that we have here, says Daytona Beach Police Chief Mike Chitwood.
Goddamn homosexuality
motherfuckers. 57-year-old Mike Shallow, also a realtor, was among nine men caught in the sting after sexual misconduct in the second floor of Volusia Mall Sears bathroom. Sears was reported to police. The nine are being charged with misdemeanor, lewd conduct, and exposure. Signals used by the suspects to attract the attention of potential partners included tapping toes, loud zipper noises, coughing, and sneezing.
What the fuck is that? Who cares?
Coughing and sneezing. Well, I care if my kid goes in there to take a leak in a Sears bathroom.
Yeah. And then what?
Some guy's down on his knees giving a fuck another guy a Hummer. It's a little lewd.
I'm sure they're discreet.
They could suck cock in the guy's backseat of his car.
All right,
that's
so you'd
privacy.
Rather have your son see in the car as he's getting in the car.
Not that car. What?
Like, let's say you're parked next to the guy and you're jumping back into the car and in the car next to you is this behavior is occurring.
No, I'm saying that go drive it somewhere that's, park it way somewhere under a tree in the parking lot where no other cars are around.
Right on, John. John, that's PSA from John, giving you homosexuals
keep
advice.
Keep it private.
Keep it private, not in public.
Do all you want, just keep it private. You want to fuck a cow? I don't care. Go right at it. Here's another one. You want to hear another one?
How do you keep that private, though? I mean, is there private areas on farms
that you can... I think there's hotels.
That you can bring a cow to?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. What else you got? You got another one?
Cow walks into a bar. Bartender says, sorry, we don't serve food here.
That's funny.
Don't you get that?
Yeah,
I get it.
So, Larry, this happened after Larry Craig. So the guy, he doesn't say to himself, boy, this one guy, his whole career's ruined, possibly his relationship with his wife. Is this one of these guys who pretends that he's heterosexual?
They don't say, but here, how about this one, Scott? A GOP lawmaker, oh my God, it's another Republican, resigns amid sex scandal. This from Olympia, Washington, a Republican state legislator who repeatedly voted against gay rights measures resigned his seat Wednesday amid revelations he had sex with a man he met in an erotic video store while in Spokane on a GOP retreat. With our tax dollars, Scott.
They have erotic video stores in Spokane?
Oh, yeah.
That's news right there.
In a written statement, Representative Richard Curtis of La Center said that while he believes he's done a lot of good during his time in the legislature, events that have recently come to light have hurt a lot of people. I sincerely apologize for my pain my actions may have caused. He wrote? Oh, he didn't say that. He wrote that. This has been damaging to my family, and I don't want to subject them to any additional pain that might result from carrying out this matter under the scrutiny that comes with holding public office. 3 days earlier, Curtis had insisted to his local newspaper that he was not gay and that sex was not involved in what he said was an extortion attempt by a man last week. Huh.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. Another one.
Another one, John.
Another one.
Right on.
How about this from Donald Dumsfeld's desk? He writes these memos. They call them snowflakes, Scott.
Snowflakes.
He's known to write like 40 memos a day.
So why do they call them snowflakes?
Because they're little tidbits that he, in delegating.
And they're all different, John. Yeah. They're different, like snowflakes.
Different.
Not one of them is the same.
In a series of internal musings and memos to his staff, then Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld argued that Muslims avoid physical labor and wrote of the need to keep elevating the threat. Link Iraq to Iran and develop bumper sticker statements to rally public support for an increasingly unpopular war. So even back then, link Iraq to Iran.
Propaganda. Catapult the propaganda.
Catapult the propaganda.
That's what you got to do. Because the W couldn't have thought of that on his own. Somebody had to tell him that. Can you imagine trying to train this chimp how to give a speech? So they had to, say, W probably was asking questions. I don't know why I have to say it over and over again. Because you're catapulting the propaganda,
right.
W. Hey, that's good. I like that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
Catapult
that's
propaganda.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Hold on, let me get the door there.
All right.
All right, man, I'm coming. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Come on,
brother.
All right, man, I'm back.
It's probably cold out there. You all right, Phil? Hello?
He doesn't got his shit on yet. Hold on. I got one more story before we turn it over to Phil.
All right.
More proof that the W is crazy and leading the country in the wrong direction. President Bush compared Congress's Democratic leaders Thursday with people who ignored the rise of Lenin and Hitler early in the last century, saying, the world paid a terrible price, then, and risk a similar consequence for inaction today. So,
What is he? Are you talking about himself?
Does he know anything about history?
I'll say anything.
See, he will. He'll catapult the propaganda, John. He's not a well-learned man.
Oh, I got this quick video, the sound from this. Oh, shit, this fucking thing. Why does Firefox do that to me? It's
got
to do an update in the middle of shit.
You don't have an option to say later?
Yeah,
later.
Yes.
Yeah, they came out with it. They're so excited about getting their new version to you, John.
Yeah.
They just can't wait.
Just can't
and
wait.
And they think that you're so excited that you can't
here,
wait.
Check this out.
Time around here, we like to read from the stacks of emails we get on a daily basis. And those we have.
Sorry, let me set this up. It's Brian Williams talking about an email that he gets from a viewer. And listen to what this viewer says about what a real news station is.
From time to time around here, we like to read from the stacks of emails we get on a daily basis, and those we have selected for tonight all pertain, as so many of them do, to what we say and how we say it, beginning with this one following our live interview here last week with President Clinton. Carolyn from Pennsylvania writes, "Where does Brian Williams get off addressing Bill Clinton as Mr. President? No former president should ever be addressed this way. Our president is George W. Bush, and I wish you would all respect this fact. Even though you make it quite obvious how much you hate it. I'll go back to the real news at Fox. Thank you." Carolyn, I hope we caught you in time. We got a lot of letters like this from different viewers saying all the same thing, and they were all sadly mistaken. The title Mr. President is for life, and it's the only way, polite way to address the president, current or former. The criticism...
Wow.
Can you imagine all those poor assholes?
I'm going to the real news.
That are
going
to have to call the W Mr. President after he leaves office.
For the rest of his life. He's going to wish he didn't say that, Brian Williams.
Can I just call you
Phil?
The chimp? Well, of course, I'm always ready.
All right, because we're almost out of juice.
Almost out of juice. I'll try to get through my news rather rapidly, John.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Hold on, man.
Now, with your award-winning TPN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Phil.
And our first story tonight. You smell that, John? I love the smell of moral hypocrisy in the morning. Youth minister of the First Baptist Church at the mall caught paying minors for sex. Next story, John. I take that back. Detail following. Police said a youth minister was arrested for allegedly having sex with more than one child, according to police. Marshall Seymour turned himself in Friday night after a warrant was issued after his arrest. The Lakeland Police Department said their warrant came after an investigation that Seymour committed numerous sexual offenses while he was a volunteer youth minister at the First Baptist Church on the Mall. Police said Seymour allegedly engaged in sexual activity for more than one minor, and often paid the victims money for the sexual conduct or to keep quiet about the encounters they had occurred. Police said they are still investigating the allegations. Next story, John. I'm not making this up. This is an actual headline, John. Actual headline. Sperm donor reforms long time coming. Let me repeat. Sperm donor reforms long time coming. Coming. I guess that's better than coming prematurely. Next story, John. This is out of Florida. A man was arrested for attacking a body in an open casket during a funeral. A Central Florida man is accused of punching and attacking a body inside an open casket. Police said Timothy Cleary of Apopka, walked into the Harvest Baptist Church located in the Paramount neighborhood in Orlando and attack the body. Mourners at the funeral then attack Cleary while others called 911. When officers arrived, they took Cleary to custody at the church. He faces several charges in connection with the incident. A public defender wanted Cleary held for mental evaluation, but a judge set bond Saturday at $350. A motive for the alleged attack was not known. Next story, John. I'm sorry, Phil. Can I stop you there? Here's what I don't understand about that story. He attacked a dead body. Is there a crime? And the guy's already dead.
Yeah, but the family, you know?
Oh, okay. Like, it's an invasion of privacy?
Out. Yeah, but if, what if it was one of your family?
What I want to know is, what is the crime on the books?
Oh.
So they obviously, there's a crime. What is it? You can't attack a body in Florida?
I don't know. Ask Phil.
A dead body?
Brought the story in.
Well, I didn't research it that well, but I can research it to get back to you. Maybe in one of the future episodes.
All right.
Next story, John. Priest destroys art fresco after becoming offended at St. Luke's depiction as an ox complete with testicles.
What?
A priest destroys art fresco after becoming offended at St. Luke's depiction as an ox complete with testicles. Next story, John.
But he was fine as long as it was a pig with breasts.
Judge who decides the outcome of a case with a coin toss and who ordered a woman to drop her pants suddenly finds himself looking for work. A judge who ordered a woman to drop her pants and decided a custody dispute by flipping a coin was removed from the bench by a Virginia Supreme Court on Friday. The decision against juvenile and domestic relations court judge James Michael Schull of Gate City was unanimous. Unless our citizens can trust that judges will fairly resolve the disputes brought before our courts and treat all litigants with dignity, our courts will lose the public's respect and confidence upon which our legal system depends. Justice Barbara Milano Keenan wrote.
Judges.
Next story, John. Here's the ultimate dumbass for the week. Man ultimately pays $82,000, John, $82,000 for revolutionary hair treatment. The so-called revolutionary treatment, however, turned out to be a toupee glued to his head. The laser was a hairdryer. Next story, John.
Oh, my God.
8-year-old dork twins invent veggie-proof underwear. Did I say veggie?
What?
I meant wedgie. 8-year-old dork twins invent wedgie-proof underwear. Bully-proof underwear earned 8-year-old twin Ohio boys a spot Friday on daytime TV show The Ellen DeGeneres Show. Using rigged boxers and fabric fasteners to hold together some seams, Jared and Justin Sarovich came up with the Ripaway 1000.
Nice.
A pair of underwear that cannot be jerked up and give its wearer a painful wedgie. When a person tries to grab you, like a bully, or the person tries to give you a wedgie, they just rip it away, Justin explained Thursday by phone from Los Angeles when I talked to him. Next story, John.
I thought like a gun came out of his ass and he just shot the bully.
No, it is the Ripaway 1000. Washu, the first chimp to learn sign language. Washu, the first chimp to learn sign language, has died. In related news, Dadabia, the first chimp to serve as president of the United States, is still alive. Next story, John.
Did you write that?
Father, son arrested for allegedly cock fighting. A Eustace father and son face hundreds of charges in connection to a cockfighting operation. The Lake County Sheriff's Department says Manuel and Orlino Carrillo were breeding birds for profit. Police said there were 337 roosters and hens and $6,000 in cash in their home. The bust was the culmination of a 2-month investigation. Each of the Carrillos is being held on $2.1 million bond. They didn't want to talk to Eyewitness News Thursday, but a judge decided their birds were only fit for fighting and must be euthanized. Next story, John. Among the 20 men arrested in a highway rest stop sex sting were a Catholic priest, a registered sex offender, and a local Rotary Club president. But surprisingly, John, surprisingly, no seniors. Next story, John. A new book alleges that not only did the 1962 University of Kentucky football team throw a game to Xavier, the players gave gay oral sex for money. That's in a new book. In related news, John, a third of U.S. high school football players have gay sex, claims sociologist. A new study to be published in the Journal of Sex Roles suggests that one-third of former American high school football players have had sexual relations with other men. Sociologist Dr. Eric Anderson, who is credited with being the first openly gay school coach during his tenure at Huntington Beach High in the early 90s, conducted research questionnaires with a small sample of ex-high school football players who said that they had had some sexual contact with other men. The men intervened. The men interviewed. The men interviewed were age 18 to 23 and all had retired from football before college. Anderson's study suggests that society's increased open-mindedness, indoctrination of homosexuality, and decreasing stigma concerning sexual activity with other men had allowed sportsmen to break more openly, to speak more openly about these sexual activities.
Break more openly.
Next and last story, John. Hitler, among many faults, John, among his many faults, also had a farting problem. Guests at the Berghof, Hitler's private chalet in the Bavarian Alps, must have endured some unpleasant odors in the otherwise healthful mountain air. It may sound like a Woody Allen scenario, but medical historians are unanimous that Hitler was the victim of uncontrollable flatulence. Spasmatic stomach cramps, constipation, and diarrhea, possibly the result of nervous tension, had been Hitler's curse since childhood and only grew more severe as he aged. As a stressed-out dictator, the agonizing digestive attacks would occur almost after every meal. Albert Speer recalled that the Führer, ashen-faced, would leap up from dinner table and disappear into the bathroom. And that's the news, John.
That's great.
All right, Phil, thanks for coming.
Thank
again.
It's always my pleasure.
All right. All right.
Then I will be on my way.
All right, then.
As soon as I get up.
All right, get up.
I'm getting up.
All right.
There I go.
All right. You're pretty slow, man.
All right, then.
What the hell? You okay?
Faster than you.
Yeah. Oh, what a race.
Bring it on.
Phil and I are going to...
Whoa.
Wow.
He's so confrontational when he leaves.
What's his deal, man?
When he's on his way out the door. Right.
Big chicken ass.
Chicken.
Chicken ass fuck.
So, brings a close to episode 109, John.
Yeah.
TTN episode 109. Check out those media page updates to see the videos of Paulie B, Tony Hearn. Give us a call on the Skype line. Drop us an email, and we should have Redneck Recital up and running. And for all
no
of
doubt.
You who have won Redneck Recital, forward me your address and I will send out a fabulous TTN prize.
Fabulous.
And Spenny, still working on the forum. I'm excited about seeing the forum, John. I'm excited about it.
Liar.
I'm excited when it gets back online, if it ever does.
All right. Well, that concludes 109. Thanks for listening. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we're out of here.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.